here. The scripture passage ends for the day. May the Holy Spirit grant us understanding as we seek to apply such a story to our lives. Such a story. In fact, I want to take another moment because I know we can often read scripture passages and then immediately dive into our interpretations, our understandings, our applications of what that text means for us today. But let's feel this text a little more, shall we? It's as if someone's teaching up here, and then these men, these religious men, barge in the doors of this church right now, and they threw a woman right here. They said, she's caught in adultery. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say that because she's caught in the very act of adultery, that they didn't have the decency or kindness to let her get decent before dragging her to Jesus and dragging her before the community. So she's exploited. She's probably naked. They caught her in the very act. You know my first question when I read this text? Where's the dude? If we go back to Leviticus and you go to that law of Moses, it says the woman and the man caught in adultery shall both be stoned to death. Where's the man? Where's the man in this text? And then they say, what are you going to do, Jesus? Should we stone her? That's what the law of Moses says. And they realize they have Jesus trapped because Jesus must obey the law of Moses and stone this woman, but Jesus doesn't have that authority to make that decision. So the Pharisees feel so proud. They're like, we've got him cornered. What's he gonna do next? Friends, I'm gonna invite you to go ahead and empty your pockets. I don't have pockets today, so we're talking metaphorically now today. I want you to remove those stones. No, not Dave, you don't have to pull out your keys and your phone. You're fine. I did not mean you can put your belongings back in your pockets. Offering plates come out at this moment, please. No, just kidding. Empty those stones out of your pockets. Those big stones, even those small stones of judgment. Judgment on yourself and judgment on others. Condemnation, unforgiveness. Mercilessness. Just take those stones out. Go ahead and figuratively throw them on the ground. You don't need your stones today. Because what this story does right here, it's a great invitation to grace. It's the biggest invitation to mercy that we've ever seen. What I love the most about this story in the ancient text is it's not a parable. This isn't some type of story that we're attempting to dissect and understand. No, we know exactly what just took place. We know exactly what just happened. We know exactly where Jesus stands. We don't have to try and interpret this in our own language. This makes sense because it's a true story of Jesus. It's not a parable of what the kingdom of God is like. This is the story of what being a Christian, being a disciple of Jesus is about. This story. And there's an emphasis within this story that truthfully, religious folks, Christians, religion at large has struggled with since the very beginning. And it's that word you and I hear all the time, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. That's what this story is all about. Because in this moment, when they're trying to catch this woman, when they're trying to catch Jesus, when they're trying to condemn, when they're trying to throw stones, Jesus' first response is, you without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. You know, my other question when we read this story is, what was Jesus writing in the ground? My own imagination likes to believe that maybe he was writing some names of women that those men were unfaithful with. was Jesus writing in the ground that made those men realize that they were being hypocrites, that they were no better than her, that they were no better than anyone, that they were equal in that moment. And then they left one by one. Hypocrisy. It's something that we struggle with because we come to church, we as people of faith, we feel this need that we have to be perfect, that we have to wear these masks and carry these stones. But not once does God ever say that we must be perfect to be faithful. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We recognize our imperfections. We get vulnerable with our brokenness to recognize our need for a Savior, our need to come to church, to be a part of a faithful community. We need this. You, without sin, cast the first stone. The church has struggled with hypocrisy, and it's not all the church's fault, because the church is part of a corrupt system at large. We're trying and attempting to fit into these corrupt systems. These systems that want greed and power and money and hierarchy and war. But the church was called to be the exact opposite. The church was called to stand against. The church was called to flip it all upside down, to be vulnerable, to be broken and fragile, but to be faithful and hopeful, to be full of mercy and compassion and empathy. But of course we fall into the structures in place. Of course the powers and the stresses of the world can take hold of the church's mission. And we can fall into the corruption itself. I read by Richard Rohr recently that the untransformed self, the most dangerous thing the untransformed self can do is be part of religion. Because then the ego has full permission to enslave, to segregate, and to inflate itself by religious standards. But Jesus, this story shows us what true mercy is like, shows us that we are a part of God's system of justice, that we don't fall into the world's system of justice, the world that begs for vengeance and greed and self-righteousness and self-interest. No, God's justice extends mercy in the most unforgivable moments, extending mercy and puts up a mirror so that we can see one another as equal, beloved creatures of God, broken and beautiful. The Pharisees within this scripture passage of John, they're not just carrying stones. They're complicit within the system. They're complicit with these hierarchy rules of justice. They're complicit with the mercilessness that's at stake here. They're complicit. So you can't necessarily blame them. They've fallen into the same power struggles and pressures of the world around them. Oh, but Jesus, this story gets me. And I hope this story gets you too. In this Lent season, as we're preparing our hearts and our minds for the resurrection, for Jesus, we come to this story where Jesus sees the humanity in the woman and calls out the brokenness in all of us as a whole, as a collection. And instead of attempting to seek vengeance or worldly justice, the most radical compassion is extended. The most radical love is extended. And in that moment, when everyone leaves, everyone with their sin leaves, Jesus looks at the woman. And he says, "Woman, where are those that condemn you?" It's just her and Jesus himself. And he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And that's not a condemning phrase that Jesus offers right there. That's grace. You remember John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." John 3:17 says, "Not for the son to condemn the world, but to save it." And oftentimes it's saving it from ourselves. Our self-righteousness full of stones in our pockets and masks on our faces. Friends, we are invited daily to this liberation. To be mercy. To be fully ourselves, as fragile and broken and beautiful as that may be. And to live fully in that knowing we are covered by the grace of God. If you told me no other story about Jesus but this one, I'd say I'm in. This man, I can be his disciple. Amen.